Please join me in the opening sentences and prayer of the day. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For God will protect us from evil and command angels to guard us in all our ways. God rescues those who love God and is present with us in trouble. God answers when we cry out and reveals our salvation to us. Let us worship God. Let us pray. Mighty God, you heard the cries of your people and rescued them from the hand of their oppressors. You cared for them in the wilderness. In the light of Christ, you experienced the wilderness yourself. As we journey through our own wilderness, we give thanks that your Spirit sustains us and your love guides us. Amen. At this time, if you are able, please stand as we sing together As the Wind Song.
The journey of life inevitably leads to wilderness, times marked by guilt or frustration and the sense that we are not in the right place. But even in the wilderness, God is with us. Even in the wilderness, God's mercy is sure. And so let us now, relying on that assurance of mercy, confess our sins together. As Lent unfolds before us, great God, we see how far we have to go to Jerusalem. The road is long, our sins are many, and our burdens are heavy. We can't imagine new life, Easter life, because our current lives are filled with bad choices and false efforts. Meet us in our weakness. Take up our sins, ease our burdens, carry us on the way. Bring us to Jerusalem at last. Show us a love that is stronger than death, a love no tomb can hold. Let's pause for a time of silent personal confession. And let all God's children say, Amen. Walking this earth, facing temptation, defeating sin, Jesus has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. This is good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. As Christ has forgiven us, let us forgive one another. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
I forgive you.
How you doing?
I forgive you. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm not entirely concerned here.
I don't know the sin.
That song we just sang, it wasn't.
This time, I'd like to invite the children up here. What do we think, girls? Can you come up here with me? I don't bite, I promise. Thank you. Hi. I know it's hard to come up here when you don't know anybody. I am Miss Lori.
Hello.
It's nice to meet you. What is your name?
Hadley.
Hadley. Hadley, what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth.
You're in sixth grade. Okay, cool. Have a seat. So I taught sixth grade for a very long time before I came to work at church. Mm-hmm. Where do you go to school?
I'm homeschooled.
You're homeschooled? That works. Lots of kids do that now. Yeah, very cool. Okay. So this morning we're going to talk about the 40 days of Advent. Okay. At Christmas time, we have, I said Advent, didn't I? My brain was thinking on something else. 40 days of Lent. That's what we're going to talk about today. At Christmas time, we have a countdown called Advent, and we use it to count down as we're waiting on Jesus to be born on Christmas, right? So at school, do you guys ever make, or at home, because you're doing school at home, do you ever make like an Advent calendar or a chain where you're counting down to Christmas and you like rip pieces off? Okay, so this is a similar kind of idea. It kind of looks like chutes and ladders. Okay, and so this is a 40 days of Lent, not Advent. And on each one, it has different things that we can do. Because while we are waiting for Easter and Christ's resurrection, when he came back from the dead and was back alive and it was wonderful, these are things that we can do to serve Christ and help others. Okay, so for example, the first one says, smile when someone looks sad. You can do that, right? Another one says, hold the door open for somebody. Or we could send a kind note to a friend. Do you have a phone yet? No? Okay, that's all right. The youth kids, sometimes I tell them to send text messages to their friends. Offer to help with a chore. You could bake cookies for a neighbor. You could give a hug to someone that you love. Okay? And so what you can do with this, and I'll give you an extra one to take for your sister, as you do these as you go through the month, okay, and you can color it as you go. Okay? I'm so glad you came up. I know it's hard to come up when you're new. I appreciate it a lot. Otherwise, I'd be up here talking to myself, and that'd be kind of strange. Okay, here you go. All right, so when we finish, we fold our hands, and we pray, and the congregation prays with us. They're very helpful that way. Okay? If you would. Gracious God, thank you for our waiting on Lent and reminders of things that we can do in your honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so you can go back to your seat or...
I invite you to consider those names that are on the joys and concerns list that is available out on the Ask Me desk. As we keep these people in our mind, let's pause for a time of silent prayer when we offer to God those things that weigh heavy on our own hearts as we lift them to God in prayer. And then, after a moment of silence, I will lead us. Let's pray. As we come to God in prayer this morning, as I say the words, "Have mercy, O God," I invite you to respond, hear our prayer. O gracious God, we come to you now, knowing that you are the God who leads us into and out of the wilderness. We pray that during these 40 days of Lent, that we will be able to take the time out of our busy schedules, out of our normal routines, to set aside the time that we need to spend with you in reflection, in prayer, in memorizing scripture, in thinking about others. We come to you today following the ancient rite of prayers of the people as we approach you, O God, to lift up the great things in this world. So we come today praying for your creation. We pray that as you have spoken all of this beauty into being, that we will be the good stewards you have called us to be, that we will care for the great garden of the earth, as you would have us to do it, as if we were standing in your stead looking at all of this and saying, is this good? Is this very good? And if we answer no or not quite, then we will do what we can to make it good in your sight. Have mercy, O God, and hear our prayer. We pray for this community. We pray for our neighbors who are suffering. We pray for those who live in fear, who live without homes, who do not know from where their next meal will come. We pray, O God, that we will be good neighbors to whomever we meet, so that they will see in us a reflection of you. Have mercy, O God. Hear our prayer. We pray for the church. Everywhere that your people meet today in worship, we pray that we will be bound together by your Spirit as one, so that we can minister in your name, and so we can shine as a light in the darkness, so that we can be a people of resurrection, of new life, of new beginnings. And so others will see in us a reflection of our Christ, who says, "Welcome to all who come to lay down their heavy burdens. Help us, O God, to worship you and lift up your name for your glory, and so others will see you in us." Have mercy, O God, and hear our prayer. We lift up all those who, having lived their lives, are now at the end, who are waiting to cross over and be welcomed home into your glorious kingdom. We pray for all those who grieve, for those who are in need of healing in their mind, body, and spirit. O gracious God, help us to provide the comfort they need, to be a presence of grace and to be a presence of love. Have mercy, O God. Hear our prayer. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our way in the wilderness, guide us by your word through these 40 days and minister to us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be reformed, be restored, and be renewed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for the word of the Lord. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from that land the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling place for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and you shall say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, with the signs and wonders, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house. Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him." For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Up until this point, Jesus has been born, obviously. He has grown up, he has been baptized, and now we come to this point in his life. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many years ago, high in the mountains of Colorado, there was a trading post at the low end of a large valley northeast of Gunnison. It still sits right where the pavement ends and the road turns to dirt on the county highway into that valley. The same family owned that trading post for several generations. They sold out a few years ago because it was hard to make a living in just 3 months a year, and it was just hard living up there when the snowfalls that begin in August and end in June some years and are measured by feet rather than inches take over your world. Believe it or not, though, there were people who took to the high country to live through the year, not just in the summertime, but throughout the year. They lived up there in that high country wilderness. A couple of them lived up near the old Star Mine, an old gold mine, but they never really would tell anyone where it was. I mean, everyone knew it was up Italian Creek, but no one really knew where up Italian Creek that old gold mine rested. And those who lived up there to work that mine did not tell anybody. Once, when my family and I were driving up Italian Creek on the four-wheel drive road that ran next to that creek, we were looking for a good fishing spot. But that road really wasn't much of a road, so much as a path of rocks cut out of the forest and up a mountainside. We were creeping along as carefully as possible when we saw barreling down the mountain in front of us what seemed like it was coming at us at 100 miles an hour, an old woman in an old army jeep with no roof, moving like she was on I-75 at rush hour. She was going so fast, I think she was literally bouncing down the mountain, her tires rarely touching the ground at the same time. There really wasn't a place to go but into the trees to get out of her way, and that's where we went because she was not going to stop. She flew by us like she hadn't even noticed we were there. We sat in silence for a moment, and then burst out laughing. We teased my dad mercilessly about driving like an old woman and that he should at least try to go a little bit faster. If she could do it, at least he could. She was one of the legendary women who worked the Star Mine. We had seen the legend in the flesh. That wilderness living person passed us by like we weren't even there. We saw her again a few years later. She wasn't up Italian Creek near the mine. She was, however, camping in one of the campsites down below. She and her partner, who lived up at that mine, were spending the night in the valley because they'd gone to town that day to get supplies, and I quote, therefore needed to tie one on. Now, being raised in a teetotaling household and not having reached an age of maturity, I did not know what that meant. But I'm here to tell you, once it was explained to me and knowing what I know now, they were indeed quite successful in that endeavor. They were drinking whiskey out of an old enamel coffee cups, trying to get over having been in civilization. Even if that civilization was just a town of a couple hundred people, they needed something to help them get through that experience. They weren't lying when they said they'd been to get supplies. Their wagoneer was loaded down from front to back with what they would need for the cold months just ahead. It was, after all, the middle of August, which meant that winter would start in just a couple of weeks. And winter up there meant that if they wanted to get down, if they needed something, if they ran out of something in that wilderness, they would need to get in their snowcat. A snowcat, for those of you who don't know, is a kind of a cross between a tank and a snowplow. It runs on tracks so the wheels or the tires don't get stuck. They would have to rev that up to get down the mountain because there was no way anything other than dogs, elk, or that snowcat could come down that mountain in the wintertime. That's the thing about going into the wilderness. People like those women who worked up at that old star mine had to prepare themselves to live there in the summertime, much less in the wintertime. They lived where few people dared to go, even in the full glory of summer. And they were going to wait it out all year long. It's pretty remarkable, really. That's the thing about going into the wilderness, though. If you want to come out of it, you need to prepare for it before you go in. For those women, that meant going to get food and fuel. For Jesus, it meant filling his heart and mind with God's word. For us, it means filling ourselves with the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Now, when we compare and contrast how those women prepared for their wilderness time by stocking up on all kinds of supplies, and then we compare it with what Jesus did to prepare his time, there seems to be quite a contrast because, of course, one bulked up and the other had nothing, took nothing, but Jesus took with him what he needed, which was, of course, the Holy Spirit and the years of preparation that had come before it. When the Holy Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness to a place with little outside distraction, Jesus went for a time of fasting and prayer before beginning a ministry that would take from him his life. Jesus took with him the Spirit and God's Word. Well, that doesn't seem like much to us compared with what we might think of loading up and taking with us. For Jesus, it was what he needed to face the changing season of his life. The Holy Spirit and God's Word were what he needed, and it was more than enough to face the challenge of that wilderness. It was more than enough. In the wilderness, Jesus faced the devil, temptation incarnate, who would throw down test after test to see if Jesus would break. Would Jesus falter because he was hungry and give in to temptation to eat? Would Jesus falter and claim power? Would Jesus falter and test God's ability to save him? No, so the gospel writer tells us, because he knew the ancient teachings that pointed Jesus to life rather than to death. He knew the teachings from Deuteronomy, the commandments, and the wisdom that had led him to deny the power of anything or anyone that would compete with God's call on his life. He had within his heart and mind the provisions he needed to face the wilderness and the danger within it, and it was enough. In these days of Lent, we are called to spend time in the wilderness, to fast and to pray and consider the temptations to which we succumb in our own lives. The Book of Common Worship tells us the season of Lent is a time for growth in faith through prayer, spiritual discipline, and self-examination in preparation for the commemoration of the dying and rising of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to get ready, to face the fact that we do indeed need a crucified and risen Savior to cover the sins of our lives, to call us to a life of reconciliation and repair so that we can live in this life as godly people, as people who reflect the Christ in our lives. We need this time. We need this time to think and to pray and to repent and to consider all those things in our lives that would draw Jesus to the cross on our behalf. This is a kind of wilderness time for us, so we fast from the distractions which draw us away from the Word of God. We fast from those things that replace Jesus' words and deeds with those of the tempter. We ask ourselves, what is it in our lives that tempt us to turn away from Jesus and his teachings, to forget them, to put them at the back of our mind instead of at the front? This is a time when we become extra diligent about reading scriptures to fill our minds with God's word so our hearts and minds are strengthened against the temptation to give in to those things that are contrary to God's commands. Like Jesus overcame the temptation in the wilderness by his knowledge of God's grace and provision, we are called to do the same. We may fast from the news or the newspapers or the podcasts or the social media so that we can instead spend that time in prayer for our enemies and our neighbors. We may fast from eating out as often as we normally do and instead spend that money on a ministry like Infants in Need, or spend that time to visit a homebound member instead. Maybe we seek God's provision to help us overcome a prejudice we hide in our hearts, to have compassion for those we usually disdain, to practice praying for those that we may not like so much. We carve out time to practice some of these things that Jesus spoke about so that as the season of Lent draws to a close and we celebrate Easter, we'll discover that we have been made stronger because of God's word that is alive in our hearts, and that we know how to face a temptation that calls us away from grace and love and peace and hope and joy, that calls us away from ministry to others, that calls us away from love of even those who persecute us. The body of Christ is alive and at work for those who are suffering, who fear, who hunger, who thirst, and who weep, the body of Christ must be ready to meet these needs. And the way that we prepare to meet those needs is to spend time in prayer, meditation, contemplation, reflection, repentance, forgiveness, looking at ourselves in the mirror and seeing where the image of Christ shines through so brilliantly and in the other places where it's maybe not so clear. We take the time to be honest with ourselves so that God can transform us and can make us into that something new, so that our lives can make a difference in this world for God's sake, for our sake, and for others. It's a time for us to say, I'm going to give up something on which I spend time, and I'm going to give that extra time over to God. And God can do with that time whatever God wants to do with that time. If we plan it out too much, we know that God's sense of humor will say, ha-ha, don't make that plan. I have this lesson to teach to you. But that's the time that Lent gives us. And this time when we spend in the wilderness wondering what God is going to teach us or where God is going to lead us, we know that it will be to a place of strength and grace. When I think about those people who so willingly venture into the wilderness, I wonder if sometimes they're not trying to avoid the outside world. Definitely those women at the Star Mine were trying to avoid civilization of any kind. The world is a stressful and often painful place, and sometimes people go into the wilderness and find their peace away from larger society. They load themselves down with provisions to keep them safe and tucked away. We, however, are called to load ourselves down with the things that draw us closer to God and to each other. Then when we're tempted to stand with a crowd calling to shove out of the way those who most desperately need to meet Jesus, we will instead make a way. We will say, part the way for Jesus to meet this person in need. We will not join the crowd, but we will lift up the person in need and bring them to meet Jesus. When we're tempted to fill our heads and hearts with a political platform instead of with the gospel, we'll remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we're tempted to denigrate a person for simply existing, we will lead with the love of Christ instead. How will we do this? Well, we'll do it because we have spent time practicing prayer, memorizing scripture, reading the good news. As we move into the first full week of Lent, may those of us here in this room who maybe have not yet decided how they will practice the spiritual disciplines in Lent, those ones I have mentioned, perhaps we can focus on carving out moments from the routine of our daily lives and simply think about Jesus. That way, when the temptation comes, we're prepared because our hearts and minds are full of God's provision, and it is enough. Because our hearts and minds are full of Jesus' love and grace, and it is enough. Because we are being led by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and that is more than enough. So let's cling to this promise that in the wilderness we do not rest by ourselves, but God is with us. And if God is with us, we know Lent, a time in the wilderness, a time of change and being made new is enough, that God will get us through, and there will be glory in our spirits and good works to be done. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for this time when we are deliberate, when we are focused on our need for you. We ask that as we venture through this time of wilderness living, that you will accompany us and make us stronger. Help us to see where we are being made new in you, and help us to practice the disciplines of prayer and love and bestowing grace. In Christ we pray. Amen.